It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. According to the National Partnership for Women and Families, in the Pittsburgh metro area, on average, a woman who holds a full-time job is paid $36,726 per year, while a man who holds a full-time job is paid $50,133 per year. This means that women in the Pittsburgh area are paid 73 cents for every dollar paid to men in the area, amounting to a yearly gap of some $13,000 between men and women who work full-time. This gap holds true when you compare workers who have the same level of education and hold the same occupation. Tomorrow, in recognition of National Equal Pay Day, the Women and Girls Foundation is holding an equal pay rally in Market Square at noon. I'm joined now in studio by Heather Arnay, the CEO of the Women and Girls Foundation. Welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you so much for having me.
So explain why this so profoundly affects women.
Well, you know, the wage gap, of course, affects all families, right? And everyone in Pittsburgh and Pennsylvania nationally, because women are 52% of the population. Most families have a female member, right? Your mother, your daughter, your sister, your wife. So this is really an issue that affects all families. It's a critical economic development issue. In fact, the city of Boston and the state of Massachusetts just made this a key priority to decrease their gender wage gap as a critical economic development issue, as a workforce issue. So when we talk about women making less dollar for dollar, that impacts employers' abilities to retain talent, right? Because if you're making less than you're worth at a company, you know that, you feel it every day, you might be more likely to leave that company to go someplace else to try to make a better living. If you're a young woman in this city, a professional woman, you might think about leaving Pittsburgh because we have one of the most dramatic wage gaps in the country and go to a city where the gap is smaller. So these are critical economic development issues for workers, for families, and for our whole community.
And part of it, too, is that you have women who are on their own in some cases taking care of children.
Absolutely.
And yet they're making less money than men are, who oftentimes might be single and not be the ones that are taking care of the children.
Yes. And so then you can see how that plays out when 75% of households living in poverty in Pittsburgh are single mothers raising kids on their own. So exactly. These issues become economic development issues. They become community issues. And we can trace lines straight from wage gap to poverty levels. You know, if it weren't for if the wage gap were eliminated, a working woman in the Pittsburgh metro area would have enough money for 103 more weeks of food for her family. That's 2 years worth of food, 11 more months of mortgage and utilities payments, 20 more months of rent, 3,656 additional gallons of gas. That's what the wage gap means for a woman in Pittsburgh.
And I was reading that Pittsburgh is on the top 10 list for the worst paying cities for women. Pittsburgh is, you know, as progressive as we are, we're the most livable. And yet, why in Pittsburgh is there such an awful pay gap here?
So, you know, one of the things that creates gaps, well, there are several factors, of course. You know, Pittsburgh is a wonderful city, but if you look at the newspaper on any given day, you'll notice that the people who are quoted as the CEOs or leaders of the largest corporations, the largest nonprofits, the largest philanthropic organizations in town, they are all mostly, right, Caucasian men. And so we are still a fairly patriarchal culture. That plays into all of this. The Bayer Center for Nonprofit Management has an initiative that just focused on the nonprofit sector, because even in the nonprofit sector, the wage gap continues, where women make up 75% of employees, but certainly they make up a small percentage of those making the most money in the sector.
You can join our conversation by calling 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Email address esspgh@wesa.fm and on Twitter at esspgh. Follow the conversation at #EPLive. How is unequal pay affecting you and your family? 412-246-2002. Heather Arnay, at a time when we have so many laws on the books regarding discrimination and harassment, you would think that for legal reasons alone, such disparities would not be allowed to exist, and yet they do. Now, I know that there's some legislation, including Pennsylvania's Equal Pay Bill, House Bill 1890, which would address some of the issues surrounding inequity in wages. Explain what this bill contains and where it stands now in the legislature.
So one of the – there are probably two critically important parts of that bill. One is that it would take away penalties to employees who share salary information with one another. As you can imagine, right, information is power. Information is key in order to know whether you're being discriminated against. Lilly Ledbetter of the Lilly Ledbetter Act, you know, is a great example of someone who just did not know that she was making 30% less than her male counterparts in the same occupation at the same company until someone let her know. And so lots of companies have actually policies that penalize or ban employees from sharing that kind of information. So that's one piece of it. It also really gives some more strength to enforcement. You spoke, Paul, about laws that are on the books. Absolutely. But we need to make sure that there's good enforcement, that the agencies that are empowered to be in charge of enforcement are there. But I also think what's important is, you know, we are having the rally not just to complain about the gap, right? We want to point out the problem, but we also want to really mobilize everyone in Pittsburgh to be part of the solution. And so supporting House Bill 1890 is one piece of that, right? It's in the House right now, in committee, introduced by Representative Aaron Mulchaney and Representative Sims. But it won't move in the House without constituents encouraging their state representatives to support that bill. Likewise, there's a bill in the Senate, Senate Bill 1317, that's about increasing the minimum wage. Women make up 75% of minimum wage earners. So increasing the minimum wage alone, right, is an economic development issue for communities and for women and their families. And then another thing that we can do, you know, employers have power in this. They really have the ability to make change in their own companies. Companies can have internal wage equity audits just to see where gaps are appearing, right? Companies can have can be sure to make a job offer to a woman or to anyone for that matter on a Friday. So they have the weekend to look up, right? Is that offer, you know, what is the going rate for that job? Maybe I should negotiate for a little bit more when I call them back on Monday to accept that position. You know, give people time to do that research. And so you might think, well, why would a company want a new employee to negotiate for more money or a better deal? Well, you know, because that person's going to be more likely to stay at your company then, right? There's really no long-term value in hiring somebody at beneath their market value, because at some point they're going to realize that, and then you're going to lose that employee. So there are lots of things that employers can do to be progressive in this regard.
We are talking about the pay gap between men and women in the United States and here in Pittsburgh. And tomorrow, in recognition of National Equal Pay Day, the Women and Girls Foundation is holding an equal pay rally in Market Square. We're talking about that with Heather Arnay, the CEO of the Women and Girls Foundation. If you'd like to join the conversation, 412-246-2002, the number to call. Let's go to Evan in Port City. Evan, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Yes, how you doing today?
Good. How are you, Evan? Thanks for joining us.
Good. I was just listening to Heather's commentary, and I think I just wanted to place my opinion into the matter. You know, listening to Heather, it sounds like what most of people say about the equal or the unequal pay between men and women has to do with discrimination. In my opinion, I think you need to look more into the different preferences between men and women and the differences between them genetically. I think that, you know, men are more likely to sacrifice, you know, their family life or their happiness for pay, and women are less likely to do so. And things such as, you know, men are more likely to be, you know, negotiable and speak out about, you know, being paid less. I think that has more to attribute to the difference in pay than any type of discrimination.
Well, Evan, I you know, I can see where you're going with this, and I think what you might be doing, and I'll let Heather address this, but you're really making some generalities there that might not apply in all cases. And you know, there are probably certain jobs where a man's physical stature and strength would play into a wage difference, but when it comes to intellectual capacity, Why should there be any difference at all? And Heather, I'll let you address Evan's comment.
Well, first of all, I want to thank you, Evan, for being part of the conversation, because I think men absolutely are part of the solution here. You know, one of our attendees tomorrow will be my son, Travis. We'll also be joined by Mayor Bill Peduto and Allegheny County Chief Executive Rich Fitzgerald. And Bill Peduto and Rich Fitzgerald and my son, Travis Shumway, have been attending that rally for many years. I think for the last 5 or 6 years straight, those three guys have been there. So I think, first of all, thank you for being part of the conversation, because men and boys are part of the solution. And in fact, the rally tomorrow is being held on Take Your Sons and Daughters to Work Day, because we encourage moms and dads to bring their children with them to the office tomorrow and then bring them to Market Square at noon to join us at the rally. Because again, this is an issue for everybody. And you know, one of the things...
Well, let me jump in, because Evan's saying, okay, yeah. men are getting paid better because they tend to speak out more, which... He evidently doesn't know some of the women that I know, but...
Right. Well, I think, you know, he's talking about a couple of things, right? So first of all, it's always important to reinforce, as you said, Paul, at the beginning, that as you look at the data, that wage gap is existent occupation by occupation, right? So some occupations have a broader gap, some have less. And you might be surprised. So CEOs, right, the very top of the pyramid, right? So women who have worked hard, achieved probably multiple degrees, right? They are at the top of their career. Those CEOs are making 69% compared to male CEOs.
What are physicians the reasons that you hear for that? What are the reasons given for that? Right.
So there are a couple of things. You know, I think it's great that Evan brought up negotiation. As you know, Paul, there's lots of organizations in Pittsburgh working on that issue together. Women and Girls Foundation, Progress Center at Carnegie Mellon University, the Heinz Negotiation Academy created by our former board member, MJ Tossi. All of us are certainly working to make sure that women are empowered to negotiate, right? You and I spoke earlier about how employers are part of that, right? Mm-hmm. So if you're going to make somebody an offer, male or female, right, we should be expecting them as employers, we should be expecting them to negotiate back, right? We want them to be strong employees. We want them to negotiate with vendors. That's going to be part of the process. So as an employer, you need to make sure that there's some wiggle room there and that you don't penalize someone for coming back and negotiating, right? So women need to negotiate more. Employers need to expect that, right, and not penalize women for negotiating for more. One of the things that creates the gap is when employers decide that the salary for a position is not going to be just based on that position, but based on what that candidate made in their previous position. We've seen that occur quite a lot, frankly, in this region, where, you know, the former CEO was a white guy in his 50s. He made, you know, $260,000. The person they're looking at to be in that position is this, you know, incredibly dynamic new leader in the community. She made $96,000 in her last job because she was the CEO of a smaller organization. So when that search firm and that board are thinking about making that person the offer, they might in fact end up making her an offer that's significantly less than the male CEO made in that last position. Now, do they want her to do a 30% less good job, right? You know, I mean, I think what we need to be talking about is what is that job worth, right? And the question of what did you make in your last job needs to become less and less relevant. Otherwise, we carry that gender wage gap with us from job to job to job.
The Lilly Ledbetter Act goes back how long now?
Well, it was the first bill that President Obama signed into law when he became president.
So 4 or 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And yet the effect of that, it seems to be happening at a snail's pace. It's not really kicking in.
Well, so there are two pieces to that. There was a partner piece of legislation to the Lilly Ledbetter Act, which is called the Paycheck Fairness Act. It was first introduced by then-Senator Hillary Clinton in the U.S. Senate. And that bill has never gotten out of the Senate, never gotten out of the legislature to find its way to President Obama's desk. And the reason that's relevant is the Ledbetter Act put back in place policies that were in place protecting women and other people from wage discrimination before the Supreme Court undid those protections. So Ledbetter puts those policies back in place. But what the Paycheck Fairness Act was going to do was actually put resources towards enforcement agencies, right, to be able to pursue wage discrimination claims, as well as invest in negotiation training programs and other things that would really help fill that gap. Now, That would be an incredibly important piece of legislation because, as all your listeners know, policies are important, but it's really important to put money behind those words. And, you know, nothing happens in Washington, this country, or even in this city if we don't have the resources to pursue the policy action.
We talked about the rally that's happening tomorrow. Realistically, what do you expect this to accomplish? We see rallies like this come up and you make a splash. But there doesn't seem to be as much of a response to what you're putting out there.
So we expect a couple of things. Our rallies have been unique across the nation. Our rallies here in Pittsburgh, because we actually have continually asked for policy change and gotten it. And so several years back at the rally, we talked about the city of Pittsburgh as an employer. It had a wage gap. There were city council members that didn't think that was the case, mayor that didn't think that was the case. We worked with city council. So at the rally, had city council members, had the mayor take pledges to change that at the policy level. The next year, we were able to announce that we did pass legislation, a gender and race wage equity audit was going to happen for the city of Pittsburgh. The following year, we followed that up at the county level. Now the city and the county have their wage gaps exposed, and they're working to fix those at the systemic level. Tomorrow at the rally, we look forward to announcing similar kinds of policy change recommendations to come out of our state legislators who are speaking, our mayor, our county executive. So it's not just talking about a problem, it's actually presenting solutions. And we invite all the folks who are going to be downtown and their kids to come. We're going to have an equal pay day bake sale, lots of kid-friendly activities. It'll be great for the whole family.
Heather Arnay joining us. She's the CEO of the Women and Girls Foundation. Heather, as always, great thanks.
Thank you. See you tomorrow at noon.
And thank you for listening to Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. You can catch the entire show online at WESA.FM or as a podcast in iTunes. Tomorrow on the program, former National League MVP and Pittsburgh Pirate Dick Groat. Until then, I'm Paul Guggenheimer. So long for now.